your seats. It says in the book of Ephesians that the purpose of the church is so that God can display His manifold wisdom to the principalities and the powers. You see, the church is not just a little safe club, a little safe house until Jesus returns to save us before the ugly beast is released. No, the church is a powerhouse to demonstrate His greatness on the earth, His wisdom to all principalities and powers. That is why God, the Father, thought the church a good idea. And we get to be part of that church in this season. If God wanted you alive in the 1500s during the Reformation, then you would have been living then. If God wanted you around at Azusa Street, you would have been living then. But you're living now. And you're living now because God intended you to be part of His church through whom, in these last days, He would show His manifold wisdom and power and glory in the earth. Amen? So that's what this prophetic time was all about this morning, was just a reminder that God is in the business of showing His glory off in all the earth. And we just get to be the riverbanks. Wow. We don't have to manufacture it. We don't have to produce it. We don't have to pray it up. You know, I used to always be scared about this topic of the glory of God, because somehow it meant that we had to first get perfect enough before God could do what He wanted to do. And now, it means something completely different to me. It tells me that God did a miracle to get us where we should be so that He could do what He always wanted to do. And what He did to get us where we should be is called grace. It's called grace. It means you couldn't earn it, you couldn't deserve it, you couldn't merit it. And God did that because it was the only way He could bring about His righteous glory in all the earth in a righteous way. Before the principalities and the powers, that none could accuse God of favoritism, of winking at sin, at winking at the fall of man. But Father said, I've taken care of all things. When my Son cried out, it is finished. And through that, grace has been given to the church. So consider yourself entering one of the most exciting years of your life. Happy New Year. And I know some of us, after this eating frenzy, are going to need to take out gym memberships. My brother took one look at me when they came the other day, and we were going to get in the swimming pool, and I was in a very vulnerable position in just my costume. And he asked me, did I leave any turkey for anyone else? Not very nice. But this is going to be a great year. And we're going to be getting down to the gym. And there's a reason we're going to get down to the gym. Because Jesus likened His church to a body. And a body can get sloppy. And with a little bit of effort, a body can get into shape. And Terry told me that round is also a shape, like my triceps. Oh, they're all round. Thank you. But the body has to get back into shape, because we need to be fit to get the job done. And if I can take that metaphor and speak spiritually, it's a bit like those gym photos, the before and after. Can I have one of those? You see, the before picture isn't too shabby. The before picture is kind of, hey, we don't feel too bad about ourselves. You know, as a church, we're doing a lot of good things. We have great times of singing, and, you know, the ministry is good, and the people are getting saved, and, you know, things are okay. But we're not living for the okay. We're living for there's got to be more. And we know there's more. And He's provided for more. And this is the year we're saying, Highway, let's get down to the gym So that we can go from this to... Now I must tell you, I looked at a lot of pictures before I decided on these two. My wife says she doesn't want to look like that. Well, we looked at a lot of pictures, and if I'd put them up this morning, I might have had people offended. So I thought of all those we could use. Thank you. We could use those. Just to put an image in your mind. That we as a local church are serious this year about getting into good shape. Because when we're in good shape, the world gets to see His goodness. When we're in good shape, the world gets to see how great He is, how loving He is. But we got to be in some kind of shape for that to happen. And the only way we get into shape is by getting down to the gym. And they say there's two areas of fitness we need to work on, our cardiovascular and our muscle tone. And if I want to say, spiritually speaking, there's only two areas of training that we need to get into good shape. And that's training in grace, the knowledge of grace, the experience of grace, and glory. The knowledge of glory and the experience of glory. We need times of being in His glory like this morning. They just go on and on because you will be transformed. You can't get into the glory of God's presence and not be transformed. So every time we get together, we got a great opportunity of getting transformed. And that glory comes not as a result of what I didn't do that week that's pleasing to God. The glory comes because I am in a better covenant, in a better standing with God through the righteousness of His Son. And I receive all the cleansing and healing and needs met that the cross provided. I walk in grace so that I can experience glory. Now, we got to take that seriously this year. Well, one of the areas we're going to be doing is our small groups are going to be quite significantly changed. What we teach in children's church, what we teach in youth, our message as we go out can't change from being the goodness of God expressed through grace and glory. It can't be any different. But in our small groups, we want to take that seriously as providing a gym instructor for you. How's that? Who could do with a personal coach? Yeah. Did you also eat all the turkey? Small groups can become a place where, and that's why we got this training time coming up with the leaders and anyone else out there who says, I would love to learn how to be a trainer. I want to go for training to be a trainer. If that's you and you don't currently lead a small group, that's a good place to get in. So come along to those training times. We're starting on the 17th for three Thursday nights. We're going to be talking about how to be good personal trainers, how to train others in these things we're talking about. So more about that later. So don't forget those dates. It is part of what we're going to be doing. Small groups won't start up until February. We're going to first be putting the training for the trainers in place. And then coming out of that, we're going to move into a year. I'm really believing that we're going to get into shape. Amen. And when we're in shape, the world's going to see how good He is. And we're going to get in shape by building grace and experiencing glory in this place. Amen. And on that very positive note, can the guys taking up the offering please come forward? Did you bring your Bibles? Tell the person next to you, I'm excited to hear a word from God this morning. And I'm excited to bring my tithes and offerings. So Father, we thank You for the gospel as it's proclaimed in this place. And Lord, we thank You for the faithfulness of Your people that is undergirded this local house. Thank You for the faithfulness over this past year that our income met our budget. And thank You for this coming year that our income will meet our budget. You have favored us in this regard and we give You thanks. Thank You for Your people's faithfulness, and I pray for ongoing favor, pressed down, shaken together, running over into 2013. As Lord, You teach us this beautiful privilege we have of co-laboring in this gospel through our giving, through our time, through our prayers. I pray for a special, special favor over this year in the area of finances, in Jesus' name. Amen. Does everyone know Peter? Peter is the proud owner of a family of two beautiful babies at the back there, and Lisa. We all know Lisa and Peter, and he's one of our best kept secrets in the church, and one of our star gifts from Jesus for this church. You know that the Lord said He will give the gifts we need in a church, His family. He gives gifts. Why does He give gifts? So that body can be built up, strengthened, so that body, all the joints, the muscle, the ligaments. Go read Ephesians chapter 4 this coming week, and you'll see why Jesus gave gifts. He gave gifts so that we can come to maturity, the body can be strengthened and built up. And that's what we want to take seriously this year. So we want to see the gifts that He's given us come in and build into our lives so that every part can do their work. Amen? So just stretch out your hands. We can only receive from a prophet if we what we receive from the man. We pray now for that. Just a receptive spirit, Lord, a receptive heart from every person. Lord, speak to us today through your word, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Pete.
Okay, am I on? Great. Thanks, Steve. Thank you to Steve and the elders for this opportunity of getting to preach the first word of the year. It really is a privilege, and a very happy new year to you all. And I'd just like to say from the beginning that this might be a bit of a different word. It's going to more follow on from the prophetic words that came through this morning. Those, I think all the scriptures that came through this morning are in my preach this morning. So this isn't really going to be a beginning of the year feel good kind of message. You know, this is going to be the year where we're all going to be blessed, because I believe every day and every year should be like that. So I'm not going to just focus. I feel like there's a bigger word on the heart of God for this morning. So if I may be free just to go with that this morning. As Steve mentioned, Ephesians 4, where Jesus has given gifts to the church. And you know, we always look at those gifts and we think, wow, I want to be like that. I want to be an apostle. I want to be a prophet or evangelist, teacher, pastor. But actually those gifts are given to prepare God's people for works of service until we all reach unity in the faith and attain and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I want you to think about that for a second. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's our goal. That's pretty insane, and I can't think about it. Yeah, it's bigger than that guy you showed up there. That's Ephesians 4 and verse 13. So my heart for this year is that we work towards that. That be our goal, that we will all try to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If that's what God's word says in here, then I believe it's possible. You know, He's in Colossians, it says that we've been filled with the fullness of Christ. In Ephesians 1, it says that, I love this passage of scripture, just in terms of church. It says, and God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. I'm going to say that again. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him. So His body is the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. We, the church, are the fullness of Christ who needs to go out and fill everything in every way. When you break it down, it's pretty mind-blowing, yet I think we've almost lost the power in some of these scriptures. We glance over them and we think, oh, you know, if we do break it down, they're unattainable. They're out there. It's like pie in the sky stuff. But I believe we're coming to an age where this pie in the sky needs to become reality now. Yeah. The scripture that Corrine brought Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That's a word to us. We need to arise and shine. And it's when you, we'll get onto Isaiah 60 just now. When you look at the promise that comes when we arise and shine, not when God arises and shines, when we arise and shine, because the glory of the Lord has already come upon us, it says. So we now need to arise and shine. The promises that follow that scripture is mind-blowing. It's way beyond anything. We read that and we think, no way, that's for the millennium. That's when Jesus returns. But then we can't quote arise and shine now. We've got to choose either all of it or nothing. And I believe all of it is for now. So we're going to go on to that just now and we'll look at it. But I just want to maybe go back a little bit and just remind us of why this is possible. About 3 years ago, I think I had a really awesome revelation of our union. Sorry, I don't know why I get emotional about this, but it's quite a powerful revelation, where I had a revelation of our union with Christ. And now when he died our death. He came to earth as a man. He lived a perfect sinless life. He should never have died because the wages of sin is death. And so he died because he became our sin. And that death was our death. When he died, when he was hanging on the cross, it was our death. That burial was our burial. That resurrection, it was for us, so that we could rise with him in newness of life. And then when he ascended into heaven, we ascended with him. It was for us. He had already been in heaven. He didn't need to come down and reascend. It was all for us so that we could ascend with him and be seated with him in the heavenly places. Now that is an absolute reality. It's happened. We are seated with him in the heavenly places already, but our minds just can't grasp it. We think it's just a cool truth. It just means that maybe we'll be blessed. You know, we can live a favored life. God's going to favor us and do good things. But it means that we are seated on the throne of God. It means that we share his life. We have God living in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And if we look at ourselves, if we look at where we are now, and we look at these truths, we all agree there's a big gap. I know for myself, I woke up in the middle of the night the other night, and I actually got a bit depressed, because this word, God's been stirring this word on my heart, and I said, God, I'm so far away. There's just such a huge gap. You are saying this is possible, and I am not, I don't even feel like I've started. And I said, God, why? Why are we not there? And he just said to me simply, you live within the confines of your belief system. It is powerful. And we need our belief systems to change. We need that box to be expanded. We need to realize that when Moses said to God, what's your name? He couldn't give a name. He just said, I am. There's no box to God. There's no box to his name. It's powerful. It's eternal. It's infinite. And that our belief systems, we need to break out of just these religious confines. We've limited who God is. We've limited what he's done for us. It's powerful. Jesus is the Son of God. He's infinite, he's eternal, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. Yes. We're seated with Christ in heaven. We share his throne, we share his inheritance, his authority, his power, his identity, his standing, his dominion, his love, his everything. We share his life. And so what I want to do this morning is just, there's a gap, okay? That is a truth, that's a reality. Now, how do we get there? How do we start living in this? Because it's got to be possible. In Ephesians 1, it says, Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is the deposit. Some versions say he's the down payment. He's the deposit guaranteeing this inheritance of ours. So we're seated in heavenly places, and it's going to become a greater reality when Christ returns. We know that. It's going to become perfect. Right now, we still live in a fallen world, so it's not as easy. But we have the Holy Spirit living in us who makes this inheritance real now. And that is his function. His function is to make the Christ life real now. And I think we've limited the role of the Holy Spirit. We think his function is, you know, he's a counselor. He's going to give me a little bit of counsel when I'm facing a tricky situation. Or he's our wisdom. When things are difficult, you know, he might just give me the right word. If I'm facing a tricky situation at work, he's going to help me. You know, he's there. He's our comforter. Oh, had a tough time. The Holy Spirit's just going to comfort me, make me feel good about myself. That's great. We know that he gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And we just think that's to make us a good person. He gives us peace, you know. Oh, I'm feeling a bit stressed. He's just going to give us a bit of peace. He'll make it a bit better. He gives us power. We see someone is sick, we can pray and hope that they get healed. Now, I know I'm being a little bit extreme here. But we have limited the function of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was here, he said, it's better that I go. Because if I go, then I can give you the Holy Spirit and you can actually do greater works than I've done. The Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we can live in a greater way than Jesus lived when he was here. I know it's mind-blowing, and it's mind-blowing for me too, but I'm just sharing the revelation that I've been given. If we can turn to John 14, please. Again, it's just going to be quick. I'm just going to read something. Come on. Jesus said, different Bible, from verse 18. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. That's the first point. He will not leave us as orphans. We have been adopted as sons. He has given us the Spirit of sonship. It's speaking of the Holy Spirit coming and enveloping us and coming to live inside of us so that we are now being adopted as sons. The Spirit of adoption. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Because I live, you also will live. Jesus is saying, because I'm going to live in heaven, you also will live. And you can live with me. We've got to put it in context. Think about what Jesus is talking about. What life is he talking about? When he says, I'm going to live, what's living to him in this context? It's heavenly living. It's talking about living from heaven, on the throne. And he says, because I live, you also will live. Speaking about the Holy Spirit again. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Have we ever, I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I've truly grasped that. Because when we are so consumed by the Holy Spirit, and we are just so filled in allowing God to live through us, because it also says it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So when we are just so consumed by the Spirit, we'll be saying, it's not even me living. It's God just using my body, actually. I think in that day, we're going to realize that Jesus is in the Father. He's in us and we're in him. It's such an intimate union that it's actually mind-blowing. We're going to look around and we're going to see Jesus. We're going to look and we're going to see the Father. And there's just going to be this union, this intimacy that we can't describe. It's the same way that Jesus said, I'm in my Father. He's in me. And everyone else was like, what are you talking about? I can see you standing in front of me. The Father's up in heaven. What are you talking about? But he understood this because he was living in it every day. He understood that union. And it's something that I believe we need to be pursuing. We need to, it's got to be our goal to know this union, this intimacy. Okay. So let me give you I kind of dumbed down the function of the Holy Spirit earlier. But he's our counselor. What that really means is that he's the Spirit of truth. He's the one who's going to guide us into all truth. He's going to reveal the things that are true about God, about our Father, about Jesus, and about us. That is a whole lot more powerful when we think about the counselor. As Holy Spirit is our counselor, it's not just to help us through life. It's to help us know who we really are, to help us know who's living inside of us, who we are living in. It's incredibly powerful. He's our peace. He comes and brings us peace. That's a shalom peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, but my peace. It's a shalom peace. It's a peace that speaks about wellness and our entire beings. He just gives us peace in every area of our lives. Wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2 says that he is our wisdom. And the wisdom here, again, it's taking, he says that no one knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God. And so we have the Spirit of God who reveals the mind of God. It says we have the mind of Christ. That's powerful. Think about that. The mind of Christ. The infinite mind of Christ, the eternal mind of Christ. His thoughts, and we cannot count his thoughts. We have that same mind. It says, "What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can imagine the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But we have been given the Holy Spirit." It's all speaking in the context of the Holy Spirit being given to us to reveal heaven to us. What we've never imagined. We've never thought of it. Ever. We've never seen it. We've never heard it. And our hearts never imagined it. What God's prepared for us. Quite something, eh? That's what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us. The love that's been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit is the same love that Jesus had when he laid down his life for us. It's an unconditional, I will sacrifice myself kind of love. It's a love that wants to empower. It's a love that just wants to just see the best in everybody and do everything they possibly can to see that happen. That's the love that we have by the Spirit. It's a power. Ephesians 1 says it's the same power that was exerted in... Let me read it. It's way better. Ephesians 1. I pray also... let me just read this whole thing. It's just cool. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ... This is from verse 17 in Ephesians 1. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That's worth praying every single day. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, or that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. That's quite a power, hey? And that's for us. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything and everywhere. So now that we have this power, this Spirit living inside of us, we're called to go as his body, the fullness of him, and fill everything in every way. It's time for the church to rise up. It's time for the sons of God to rise up. It's time for us to arise and shine. I really felt that this year is I feel like it's a very significant year in the spiritual realm. I feel like a shift has taken place, and it's almost like the spiritual realm is looking to the church and saying, what can I do? What can't I do? I feel like the angels, the angelic beings are looking to us and saying, what do you want me to do? And if we're not giving them any assignments, they're going to just sit and get bored. And I feel like the demonic forces, the dark forces of this world, I feel like they also look into the church to see what they're allowed to do. And if the church is being silent, then they're going to do whatever they want to do. And it's time for us to rise up. Like Steve said, it's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God is going to be made known. And that's not to the world. It's to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. It's above. And that's through the church that we make known to the higher level, the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God. Doesn't make sense. They're already in the same realm as God. You'd think they can just look to God and see his wisdom. But God has deliberately chosen to reveal his manifold wisdom through the church. That's through us. Because we are seated in the heavenly places. And so he's saying, actually, I'm the head, you're the body. Now I'm going to reveal my wisdom to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places through you. Now it's your role, it's your function, go do it. Just the same as the vine and the branches, he's the vine. The vine cannot produce fruit. It needs the branch. We are the branch. And in the same way that we cannot produce fruit apart from the vine, the same way that the vine cannot produce fruit apart from having a branch. Now it sounds hectic, but that's in the sovereignty of God, he has chosen to do it this way. And it's a huge responsibility. But at the same time, it's an absolute joy. It's an absolute privilege to be able to abide in the vine and allow his life to flow through us. It's the greatest privilege. And I think, can we turn to Isaiah 60? I feel like it came through this morning and we need to honor that. Okay, from verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Speaking to us. What do we need to do? Arise and shine. Our light has already come. Jesus was the light, and he's now living inside of us. The light has come. Now we need to rise up and shine, and not put a little bowl underneath, over us. What is it? Parable, something along those lines. We need to rise up and shine. As Kareen shared, we need to be those hot air balloons and just let go. Just by faith, let go and just say, God, take me. I'm going to go. I know there's more. I know there's more for me. I know there's more in the Spirit. I know there's more as a son of God. I'm trusting in you. I don't understand it, but I'm trusting in you. Take me. Let's just go. Holy Spirit, consume me. I want everything you have for me. I don't care if I don't understand it. I know that's a price. You paid a huge price for me to have this life. It must be worth it. It must be worth more than what I'm experiencing now. And see, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. There's darkness. We have the light living inside of us. There's darkness out there. When we arise and shine, we will walk and the darkness will flee. Darkness is not a substance. Darkness is just an absence of light. The demonic realm, the spirits of darkness, they just dwell in the darkness because there's no light. So the church needs to rise up and release the light so that this world can change. We want the Spirit of God to be the dominant spirit. We want, and he is, like, you hear what I'm saying? But we want the glory of the Lord to fill the earth. We want the knowledge of the glory of the Lord to cover the entire earth. When we do this, nations, look at these promises, nations will come to your light. Kings to the brightness of your dawn. Look about you, your sons come from afar, your daughters come. I'm not going to read everything. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah. I read somewhere that 2013 is a year of the camel. I don't understand that. I read it somewhere, but I'm just throwing it out there because it says that and I thought it was quite cool. And all from Sheba will come, bearing golden incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. That reminds me of King Solomon, when Solomon just had that wisdom inspired by the Lord, and he governed under the wisdom of God. And just everything just came to him. Queen of Sheba came to him. It's speaking the same thing. We sons of God, we need to learn how to govern. We need to learn how to rule in this life. It's pretty much what I'm talking about. That it's just different, packaged differently. It just, if you look at this, everything is just going to come to you. Flocks will be gathered to you. The islands look to me. I don't have time to read through the whole thing. Foreigners will rebuild your walls. Their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. Your gates will always stand open. They will never be shut, day or night, so that men may bring you the wealth of the nations. Their kings led in triumphal procession. For the nations or kingdom that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the pine, the fir, the cypress together, to adorn the place of my sanctuary. I will glorify the place of my feet. The sons of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who despise you will bow down at your feet and will call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Although you have been forsaken and hated with no one traveling through, I will make you the everlasting pride and the joy of all generations. You will drink the milk of nations and be nursed at royal breasts. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring you gold and silver in place of iron. Instead of wood, I will bring you bronze and iron in place of stones. I will make peace your governor and righteousness your ruler. No longer will violence be heard in your land. We could do with this. Nor ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Now, this is quite interesting. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. Do you know that in Genesis 1, it tells us that the sun is going to govern the day, the moon is going to govern the night. That's speaking about time. Here it says, the sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. It's just speaking about our ability to take ourselves outside the realm of time and saying that we can dwell in a different existence in the heavenly realm, therefore we are not limited by space and time. Your sun will never set again. It's just going to be an everlasting light. Then will all your people be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time I will do this swiftly. Nice to know we don't have to do it, eh? Yeah, we just need to believe. Arise and shine, and believe what he's done for us and step into it. We still got 10 minutes. I'm going to keep going. There's more cool stuff. Isaiah 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. Okay, that's speaking about the Spirit of God coming upon Jesus, and that same Spirit has come upon us. And if we go down to verse 6, just some of the promises that come with that. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. Now we know that In Genesis, we know that Adam and Eve sinned, and then they brought on a curse where pretty much death came in. Before Adam and Eve messed up, there was no death whatsoever. The lions, everything, they were all herbivores. And we know that Jesus has become a curse for us. And it's now our responsibility, I believe, those who carry the Spirit of God, to reverse the curse. And not only in certain areas, not only in areas of healing, which I'm all for and very strongly for, but in everything. I believe creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God. And the sons of God need to rise up and release this light over all of creation. Mark chapter 16 says, go and preach this gospel to all, the whole of creation. Not just to people. Now, I know this sounds a bit weird, and I don't know how you do it, but I believe it's possible. I believe nature is crying out to God and saying, or to the sons of God saying, when are you going to rise up and let your light shine, because I'm tired of dying. I'm tired of decaying. Just a thought. It says the cow will feed with the bear, the young will lie down together, the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. That'll be fun. Don't have to worry about snakes. Ladies, you can get over your fear of snakes. And me. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, we sang that earlier. Do we believe it? It's one thing to sing it and think this is a cool song. It's catchy. Oh, Lord, we want the earth to be covered with the knowledge of you. That's what it means. According to Scripture, this is what it's talking about. That's the context. Bringing life to everything. Whole of creation. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from everywhere, the islands of the sea. I believe we're in that time. I believe that day is now, where the Lord is reaching out his hand a second time to reclaim everybody, just bringing everybody back into his family. I really believe that's a very significant verse. It goes on to say, Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be cut off. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, and Judah, nor Judah hostile toward Ephraim. Speaking of unity, there's going to be unity in the body. And it goes on. I'm going to try keep going. Time's running out. Oh, my favorite passage of Scripture. Ezekiel 47. If we can quickly turn there. This is speaking about the presence of God. There's a river. We always, again, we sing about the river and we talk about the river of God. And this is talking about a river that gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And as the river gets deeper, there's life. And then the river, when it's so deep that you can't swim in it and you can't cross it, that river then flows into the Dead Sea. And look what happens. From verse 3 to 6, you will see that they're taking a walk down the river. It's first ankle deep, then it becomes knee deep, then waist deep, and then so deep that it consumes them. Then he led me back to the river, the bank of the river, from verse 6. He asked me, Son of man, do you see this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this river flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Eglim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Wherever the river flows, there will be life. That's talking about the river of the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. But it does only get into that state when it's completely consumed us. Because it's where it's so deep that you can't cross it. So you're in the river and it's just everywhere. It's all over you. You're swimming in it. You're consumed by the river. And from that place, it then goes into the sea and turns the salt water into life and fresh. There is life all along the riverbanks. There is life. There's trees that grow. Its leaves are for healing. It's food for the nations. But when we're so consumed by the presence of God, when you're so full of the Spirit, wherever you go, there will be life. I really believe it's a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture, powerful image for this day, for this time. The light will consume the darkness if we will arise and shine. Acts 10 verse 38 says that Jesus was anointed with the Spirit of God, and wherever he went, delivered all who were oppressed of the devil. I think that's how it goes. So it speaks of healing. When we're anointed with the Spirit of God, it speaks of healing. It speaks of all these things that we already know. That's why I'm not focusing too much on that part. The Great Commission. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, sit back and watch it unfold. Not quite, eh? All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And I will be with you always. It is our job to make disciples of nations. Just as Elijah governed a nation when he wasn't even a king. He just went to the king and he said, it's not going to rain. The kingdom of God suddenly invaded the kingdom of that land. When we disciple nations, it doesn't mean we've got to become presidents or get into government. It means we need to hear the voice of God and do whatever he tells us to do. Because it's his heart. Nations are his heart. He wants all nations discipled, all nations delivered, set free, and walking and knowing the goodness and the love of God. So what do we do? We just need to press into the presence of God. We just need to get so intimate with Him. We need to pursue the presence like there's nothing else. It's got to be our number one focus, our number one desire. It's all about Him. The Scripture points to Jesus. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus. Shows us what we can do. When we are in the presence, when we are so consumed by the Spirit of God, we get to see, as in a mirror, how we should be living and who we really are. We need to be so consumed. Just in that story of the river in Ezekiel 47, and you ankle deep, this much of you is in the river, in the presence. The rest of you is in the world and still being influenced. We need to keep walking. We need to walk by faith down this river until we are consumed by the presence. We don't understand, like I said, we don't know what it's going to be like when we're there, but it's going to be glorious. It might be hard. There are going to be challenges. Things will change. I know things will change. God said to me the other day, He said, do you actually want this? Because things will change. And He said, don't tell me now, think about it, because you don't really know what you're answering. I have answered yes. I do want it. I really do want it. Colossians 3 says, I want to read this to you as well, because I believe it's crucial for this time. Colossians 3 and verse 1 says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I believe that is such a key to living this life that God's called us to. We need to set our minds and our hearts on things above, because that's where we're seated. We've been raised there. So let's think those thoughts. We need to change our thinking. We need to change our belief systems. We need to fear God and not man. In Isaiah 11, where it's talked about the Spirit of God, it said the Spirit of the knowledge of... Sheesh, I'm not doing too well today. Sorry. I normally remember these things. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And He will delight in the fear of the Lord. Of all those things in the Spirit of God. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, fear of the Lord. They're all awesome. But He will delight in the fear of the Lord. That is the one. I believe again that this is the one thing that's going to be returned to the church for this year. It's crucial. The fear of the Lord has to return. It's a reverential awe of who God is. God, if you say go, I will go. Because you've spoken and you are God. I am a son of God, but you are God. It's all because of you. It's all because of your grace. Every single thing that I've spoken about this morning is because of His grace. It's not us. We're seated with Christ in the heavenly places because of Him. Because of His love for us. He came down and rescued us and took us there. He's the one who empowers us with His Spirit. All we need to do is agree and believe. And I think that's where we're lacking. But yeah, I'd like to leave it there. May it be a good year.
Are you ready for some of that change in your life? Are you also willing to say yes, Lord? Yeah. See, as he was reading through these Isaiah scriptures, I thought, Lord, for too long the church has swept all this good stuff under the carpet called the millennium.
Yeah.
And lived in too little of it today.
Yeah.
But I do feel this prophetic morning that we've had through the words of the Spirit, through the music. It's been a spontaneous morning. I must tell you that. In more than one way. And out of this, there's just come a sense of what's your response going to be. God says, are you willing to change? Us going to the gym as a church is not so that we can just look good. It's because of what He wants to do to in this world that requires us to be in that shape. Are you willing for that change? Just pray for us. Just, that's on your heart and your burden. Amen.
Can we stand? If this is something that you desire, I just encourage you, just open your hearts and just let God birth it in you right now. Only He can do it. So Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Lord. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your love for us, Lord. That you would unite Yourself with us, Lord. That You would come and leave Your throne in heaven and come and walk this earth, that we may be united with You for eternity, and that we may now sit on Your throne and rule and reign with You, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we want this world to be filled with the knowledge of Your glory. We want every person to know Your love and Your goodness. We want all of creation just to come under the presence of the Almighty God.
Yes.
And if all creation just to be changed in the twinkling of an eye because light has come.
Yes.
So Father, just this morning as we just position ourselves before You, as we open up our hearts before You, Lord, I just ask right now that You will just start birthing this desire in our hearts, Lord God. Birthing the desire in our hearts to arise and shine. Lord God, teach us how to arise and shine for each and every one of us. It's going to be different for all of us. But God, just give us the faith as well. Just break unbelief in our lives, Lord God. Whatever has hindered our thinking, whatever has hindered our faith, Lord God, to step into all of this.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, I just pray that You would even just start working right now in our hearts. You, Jesus, You are the I Am. And You are living in us. The I Am is living in us. The I Am is living in us. Give us that revelation, Lord God. May we know that You are in the Father, that we are in You, and You are in us. We just pray for that intimacy, Lord God, where we are just so, our thoughts and our hearts are just so filled with nothing but perfection, with nothing but heaven and the glory of heaven and goodness and love. We just want to see that. We want to be consumed by that, Lord God, and then we can do nothing but arise and shine and release that wherever we go. Lord, here we are. Use us, send us. Thank You that in Your time, You will quicken this. And Lord, we trust that it's Your time now. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.